Today, I'm in the offices, very plush indeed, of the UK's top, one of the UK's top dating agencies. But this is no giant internet site. This is a bespoke personal matchmaking service. And I'm here with the CEO, Gillian McCallum, of Drawing Down the Moon. Hi, Gillian. Welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Hello, Josephine. It's lovely to be here. Thank you.
So, do you like the term matchmaker? And to me, it sounds a bit fiddler in the roof. It sounds a bit kind of old-fashioned. Or do you love it?
I love the term matchmaker. The very idea that we can go out there and search for the perfect person for one of our clients and be that kind of meddling, nosy, intrigued, interested person that's digging into the history and background to find the ideal partner. I just love all of the positive connotations that come with the term matchmaker.
Fantastic. So why do people need Drawing Down the Moon, and why is it different than other agencies? Because obviously dating's massive now on the internet.
Dating is massive on the internet, and matchmaking has been around for a very long time. Drawing Down the Moon as a company has been around for a very long time. We've been around since 1984. And matchmaking has not lost its appeal at all over the years. So while there are different products and different ways in which you can meet your partner, and it's always changing and evolving, and it goes from being Match.com, obviously was extremely popular, and now it's Tinder, of course, that's leading, along with Happn and Bumble. But we're just another product, another way in which you can meet your partner.
And why are you different than them?
So why are we different to online or other matchmaking agencies? Well, we're different to online because, of course, every single person that comes to Drawing Down the Moon is met with in person. We take ID from that person, and we then go into, in the hour we spend with them in the meeting and the half hour we've spent on the telephone prior to that, we really go into their background, their history, their values, the type of partner that they would like to meet, and the type of person that's going to be able to form a strong and lasting relationship with them. So we're really looking at the history, the background, the experiences that build into making that person individual and unique. If you're thinking of Tinder, great product, it works for a lot of people, but you're simply looking at a picture. On the basis of this picture, is this person going to be a lifetime partner? And we don't necessarily think that's the best way of picking someone that you're going to be with for the rest of your life.
So why are you different than other agencies then?
So other agencies, every agency works differently, and we have some tremendous competitors. The way that we operate, first of all, we've been around the longest, and that does really make a difference. So we are the UK's oldest matchmaking agency, and that experience certainly does show itself in the way that we operate. The next thing is really to do with the expertise of our agents. Obviously, So really it's to do with the expertise of our matchmakers. We invest very heavily in training and development. We hire people with very strong networks. We hire people with strong emotional intelligence. We hire people who are driven to provide outstanding customer service. We actually won Best Customer Service 2016 at the UK Dating Awards last year. One of my matchmakers was recently named Best Global Matchmaker, and that was an iDate Miami. So we have huge experience. We also have, as far as we know, one of the largest active databases of clients. So we have between 800 and 1,000 active clients at any one time. If you compare that to the number one in New York, who has between 20 and 25 active clients at any one time, this is talking about a very, very different scale. And so we have a very large database of active relationship-minded clients, and we also have very strong networks amongst our staff, which means that they're able to look within their networks and outside the database in order to get a really strong match for our clients.
So they're kind of like walking computers, the women that work for you, aren't they?
Not a bad description. Yeah. I mean, certainly we don't use computer algorithms. Mm. Everything is done as part of a team. One of the unique things that we also do, the person that you meet with at the very beginning is also the matchmaker that looks after you throughout your membership period. That's also unusual. A lot of agencies, the person that you meet with is not the person that goes on to look after you. So you build a really close personal relationship with your matchmaker. Your matchmaker at Drawing Down the Moon also works really hard to coach you on dating. And you might think that you don't need that kind of support and assistance, but you know, it's so interesting. One of the things that I love is when you have a client who goes on a date, and we have this example most weeks, and let's say we get the feedback from a female and she says, no, I really wasn't that keen. I don't think he's the right one for me. And then we'll call the chap and he says, she was fabulous. She was an absolute cracker. I definitely want to see her again. Mm. And the number of times when we call back the original client, let's say it's the female in this case, and we say to her, you know, that's such a shame that you didn't want to meet John again, but he really liked you. And when we say that, they say, did he? Oh, I didn't want to say that I liked him because I didn't think he liked me. He didn't express that when we met. Oh. That was the reason I didn't want to see him again. So often, just by having this fabulous intermediary of someone who takes, again, as I said, we take feedback after every single date that our clients go on from both parties. It can just be that little bit of encouragement that he may not have expressed himself particularly well. He may have thought he was telling you that he was really keen, but actually appeared reticent. And so that's one of the really exciting things about our job, that we're able to be that intermediary, that middleman, to make things happen.
It's fantastic. So how would one go about using your service? So you contact the agency, then what's the next step?
Okay, so the very first thing you'd do is call Drawing Down the Moon, or send us an email, or you can also submit an application via our website, which is www.drawingdownthemoon.co.uk. And you would then have a telephone interview with one of our matchmakers. And the matchmaker, through the course of that conversation, would be finding out a little bit more about you, a little bit about your history, try to find out what your motivations are for coming to see us at this point. And then we would take a decision as to whether or not, on the basis of the information that you've given us, we think that we can help you. And at that point, we would invite you in. You would then have a full 1 hour meeting with one of our matchmakers. Could be the original matchmaker you spoke to or one of their colleagues. And at the end of that meeting, they would then say, well, look, we think we can help, or we don't think we can help at this point. And that would be, again, on the basis of usually readiness. So I would say the number one reason for a client not joining Drawing Down the Moon at this point is because they're simply not ready.
That's interesting, because I was going to ask about baggage, and that probably is the baggage aspect, isn't it?
Well, I don't know.
We've all got baggage, come on, but it's like how you deal with it, isn't it?
We do all have baggage. As time goes on, we do. Mm. But the readiness element, the readiness aspect of it, is really about a client coming in to see us, and the number one really would be, my husband or my wife died X number of months ago.
Oh, no.
Or my husband or wife left me X number of months ago. And, you know, there are some people that can walk in and can say, you know what, I was in an unhappy marriage and this is the best thing for both of us and I want to move on. And we can say, okay, we think you're ready to get out there and we think you're ready to date. But alternatively, if someone's sitting here and they're clearly very emotional and very upset and very hurt, you know, we could say, well, great, let's sign you up, we'll get you out there. But actually, we think the best thing for that person is just to take a little bit more time to look after themselves and to get back into a place where they're ready, where they're really ready to go out and meet. So what our matchmakers would then do, they'd keep in contact, they'd find out how that person was getting on and developing. And it may be that person decides, do you know what, now I've got through this, I don't want to date right now, I actually want to stay single for a while. And that's wonderful too. But we need to make sure that everyone that comes to see us is ready for a relationship, wants to embark on this fantastic journey with us and discover whether or not we have someone that's right for them.
I find that really, really interesting because I've never thought of that aspect before. So I'm a terrified person because I haven't been in the dating game for 25 years, say, and I've lost my mojo, you know, as you say, I've got to be ready, but I do feel I am ready, but I'm terrified. How would I cope? Give me some dating coaching tips. I'm a 54-year-old woman who has been out of the game and I'm, you know, as I say, I'm terrified.
Okay, that's not unusual. And I think that having been out of the game for a while, it can be really, really intimidating. And I think the key thing is, don't be scared of the internet. Although we are not on the internet, we're not part of the internet product, if you are not going to approach a matchmaker and your decision is to go down the internet route, don't be scared about it. A lot of people are on the internet, but do digging. Do be careful. There are some unscrupulous people out there who do want to go after single men and single women, and you probably have seen all of the stories in the media about it. You just need to be a bit savvy. You know, if someone says that they're travelling all the time because they've got a job in the army and they're going to be unavailable for periods of months on end, that can sometimes be a sign that this person is not genuine. But don't, you know, these horror stories are in the papers because they're unusual. They're not happening every day. And so, sorry.
Have some water.
Yes,
down.
I will. So what I would say to someone who's terrified is, get yourself out there, get some really good pictures taken, visit a professional photographer, ideally pick a photographer who knows how to do dating photography, so get some good snaps, get your hair done. Also, the other thing is, if you're going to go online, if that's the tactic that you're going to use, don't be frightened of things going wrong in terms of things being cancelled at the last minute. Don't take rejection personally. One of the things that we talk a lot about now is ghosting, which is where men who you've been, predominantly men, sorry guys, have been dating women and suddenly disappear in the middle of the dating. In the middle of it happened.
I mean, actually, I think it has happened. It does happen to all of us. Remember when we were young, just men suddenly turn cold. Do you remember that? They just turn cold.
It does. Can happen. Mm. And you know, the thing about it is, the last thing that a man wants to do is tell a woman that he's not interested in them. Men will do absolutely anything to avoid rejecting a woman. And so what they'd rather do is just disappear. So, you know, the key thing again is you only need one date to go well in order to form that relationship. So don't be downhearted if online dating is not working, or if you've been on 20 dates and you still haven't met someone. Just get yourself out there.
How would I dare, you know, what would I wear? What would I act like? Yeah. You know.
Okay, I get it. So you're talking about the first date. Mm. We would always recommend, ladies, keep it simple. Put a dress on, get some lipstick on, do your hair, put some heels on. Now, a lot of people say to me, well, I don't want to change. I don't normally wear makeup. I don't normally wear earrings. And you know what the tough part about it is? I don't want you to change, but this is a really, really competitive market. There are far fewer single men in the 50s and 60s age range than there are women.
Yes, that was the point I wanted to ask.
Significantly fewer men. Okay. Now, we're really lucky. Mm. We measure our male to female ratio every single month. Mm. At Drawing Down the Moon, we have a 51 to 49% male to female ratio. We currently have more men in our books than women. That's really unusual for dating agencies, okay? So what I would say though, in terms of what to wear, I would say, very competitive market. You are not changing who you are by putting some lipstick on and a pair of earrings. You are competing against a lot of other women who will very happily get those heels on, get that pretty dress on, get their hair done, and get out there. So it really is a case
of... So you've got to make the effort.
You have to make the effort. Best foot forward.
What about things like what conversations should you avoid?
this is a good one. So, I mean, there's the really obvious ones that do stand the test of time. Do not sit there talking about your ex-husband or ex-boyfriend and the issues that you had with him. Don't talk about the time there was a crisis because, you know, your husband actually is incredibly mean and there's some issues with the children. You know, you've got to avoid anything that says, hold on, warning signs, this woman has serious baggage and there's going to be problems. That's not to say don't talk about your children or don't talk about some of the beautiful things that are happening in your life, but make sure that you keep the negative stories at bay. One of the things that women do is quite often at the very beginning, they think, right, if I tell him all of my faults up front, then everything will be easy. He'll know the real me. Well, no, when you come out with a list of all of your faults and all of the reasons why he shouldn't like you, he does run in the opposite direction. So you don't have to have a big reveal about who you really are. Gradually allow someone to get to know who you are. And you know, the old adage of be yourself, you really can't beat it. Be yourself in terms of your personality, but think about what you'd like to listen to and hear about. Another really important thing, men quite often on a first date are so keen to impress to show who they really are.
That's men are show-offs much more than women, aren't they? Come on. Okay. They want to flash the cash. They want their ego out there, don't they?
They want their ego out there. Yeah. So sometimes what this means is that women can end up sitting in silence while a guy is saying exactly how fabulous and wonderful he is. Now he thinks...
I can imagine that.
He thinks you're sitting there being impressed because he's the best date you've been on in a month, but actually you're sitting there bored. And so rather than having this incredibly boring date and going home and telling your girlfriends what a disaster the dating world is, I would say take charge. Say, do you know what? I love that I'm learning so much about you, but you know what? I'd like you to ask me a question about me. And you know, guys like that too, they don't...
kind of wakes them up, doesn't it?
It wakes them up. I've loved listening to what you're saying. Yeah. But you know what? I want you to ask something about me. And they suddenly they're like, oh, hold on.
Yes, because they don't even do it consciously, do they?
It's not conscious at all. No. It's not conscious at all. They just want to impress.
Yes.
So the motor mouth starts.
Yeah. What about, kiss or, you know, how far should you go on this first date?
I personally think kissing in a first date is a fabulous thing to happen. I don't think there's any rules now about not kissing in a first date. And I think certainly whether it's a peck on the lips or something more is, of course, up to you. The one thing I would say is do not have sex on a first date. And I'm going to be really strict in this. Now, this is not religious. This is not moral. This is not about being a good girl or a bad girl. Nothing to do with that. It's science. And I'm going to tell you this. You're going to love this one.
Yeah.
Okay. So scientific research has shown that if you wait 31 days before having sex with your partner, a year later, you are significantly more likely to still be dating that person. So the question, of course, is why? Okay,
yeah. And also, how long, you know, it's like, gosh, have I ever done that? No.
Well, have you ever waited? No, is that what you're saying? Well, we'll need to hear more about that in a second. So you're clearly going against all scientific evidence. So I'll tell you why. The reason is that when we have sex and when we orgasm, we are releasing all kinds of hormones. That means, as you know, oxytocin, the bonding hormone. Men are not releasing that. Women are releasing that, which means that when we have sex with our partner, with a new guy we've just started dating, we're bonding with him. Now, that means that we're unable to objectively view that individual as a partner.
I can really see why I've gone wrong.
If only you'd been speaking to me years ago. No, I know you've got a very nice husband and we're not going to criticise him. So you bond. And so what happens is you're unable to objectively view that individual. And so you fall in love. Okay? You believe you're falling in love. You're, it's all about love.
Well, physically you do. And so it affects your brain. And
so it affects your brain 100%. But what they've worked out is that by waiting 31 days, that allows you to go to the park, to go to the cinema, to go to art gallery, to build and form a relationship and say, do you know what? This guy is not someone I say, you know, he doesn't have the same moral compass as me. He doesn't have the same values and ideals as me, because you're not allowing these brain chemicals to take over the process. And after 31 days, it is believed you're objective enough to decide whether you're going to jump into bed with this guy or not.
And this is the advice you give, and it works.
This is the advice that we give. And you know what? We give the advice. Whether people take it, that's up to them. I mean, the point is people come to us because they want a long-term relationship. And we want to give them the building blocks and the skills to develop that long-term relationship. And this is one of them. But whether or not, as I say, whether or not our clients are falling, you know, listening to our advice all of the time, I don't know. But we certainly have so many hundreds and thousands of marriages that certainly some of them are listening.
Yeah, let's hear some happy stories then. Because Gillian, how long have you owned the company?
So I purchased Drawing Down the Moon in July of last year, and I was associated with the company for quite some time before that.
What were you doing?
So I was a headhunter.
Ah.
So I used to recruit for billionaires and private family offices in the UK and the Middle East. And the reason it was so transferable, well, first of all, I should tell you, I first heard about Drawing Down the Moon when I was 15 years old.
Gosh.
They used to advertise in the back of Private Eye magazine.
Yeah.
Now, I'm old enough to remember the days before the internet and mobile phones. And so I just had to use my imagination about what Drawing Down the Moon did and what matchmakers did. So fast forward when I became a headhunter, I used to joke that we were going to close down and become a matchmaker. And so I, in terms of my clients and the way that I operated, I had these billionaire clients, and when I was hiring a CEO or a CFO or any of these other senior positions, all of my candidates could do the job. And what I did was I would select purely on the basis of personality, and I would always know, I always knew which candidate was going to get that job, without doubt. I was only ever wrong once, and I'll tell you about that one later. But I always knew which candidate was going to get the job because I knew which person had the best personality fit for my client. And I was right. And so it was all about values, morals. It was about the direction that both of their lives were going in. It wasn't romantic, but it was to do with career. And so I've always felt that my skill set as a headhunter would be really transferable to the world of matchmaking. And I have to say it is.
And was matchmaking, is it much more fascinating world for you?
Oh, it's incredible. Matchmaking is a whole other world to recruitment. I mean, where else can you ask all of these wonderful, intimate, interesting questions of someone where you really want to make a difference in their life? And, you know, getting a job for someone and changing their career path, that's wonderful. But when you have someone, you know, we had this fabulous case of a chap in his early 50s, tall, good looking, very eligible, but painfully, painfully shy. And this wonderful, interesting, painfully shy man had never had a date.
What? In his life?
In his life. Wealthy. Wealth.
What?
Fabulous.
So he'd put his energy into his career and just, yeah, let it all behind.
His energy into his career, let it all behind. He is now 7 months into a relationship. He is incredibly happy, as is his partner. Interestingly, his partner that we paired him with was quite old-fashioned. She had quite old-fashioned values. Mm. She did not want to have sex within the first 30 days of a relationship. And of course, for someone who'd never had a relationship before, that was perfect. And, you know, and of course, the outliers are always going to be the ones that you remember and that stick in your mind. The vast majority of our clients are people who've dated extensively. Beg your pardon, sorry.
Yeah, who are they?
So our clients range, really wide range. Mm. I would say most of our clients earn from probably 60,000, 70,000 upwards. The top end our clients are billionaires. But we have, mainly it's that middle group that we recruit for in terms of earnings. But in terms of background, could be anything. Could be finance, banking, the arts, could be charity or third sector. We have teachers, we have lecturers. Mm. We have a huge range. Drawing down the moon is always been known as the thinking person's matchmaker. Mm-hmm. And so we've always attracted intellectuals, people who are, generally speaking, degree educated, although now, of course, there's so many people in interesting and varied careers who haven't needed to go to university.
And what's the average age and what are your age ranges?
So we range from 22 years old as our youngest through to a chap who inquired last week who's 91.
Oh.
So we have a huge range of clients in terms of age ranges. Average age range, I would say, was probably mid-40s.
Yeah.
So probably the 40s to 50s is probably an average across, but that's simply because we take people of a really wide variety of ages.
Is it interesting also to put people from different backgrounds together? I think, you know, like, or different countries or different, you know, so someone might not realise that they actually would want to fall in love with someone that was American or Asian. You know what I mean? It's like, do you open their minds to other people?
Oh, absolutely. And the key thing about this is that often when you're talking about opening your mind or opening people's ideas and attitudes about a really good match, that is our job. So right at the very beginning, when you come in to see us, our job is to make you question some of the choices that you're making, because clearly it's not worked to date. And so one of the really common things for women coming in, I want a man over 6 foot, who earns over 150 grand, who's got... So it's very...
Dark hair and blue eyes.
That's it. So we often have people who are really prescriptive about what they want.
Yeah.
And it's about us saying, look, you're 5'2". You don't need a guy over 6 foot. Or, you know, it, particularly with salaries, you know, we're very careful here. We don't match on the basis of income, which means that we can send people out who are earning significantly less than their partner. So income is not one of the key factors for us. Really, it's about values. And as I often say, you know, height is no predictor of a successful relationship. Nowhere at all.
Tell us about values, because I'm interested, because you've mentioned it quite a few times. Can you give us some kind of instances of people's values?
So, you know, values are really about the way in which they live their lives and the kinds of things that are important to them. Is it family first? Is it business first? What are you looking for in terms of the direction of your life? Do you want to retire when you're 50? Do you want to retire when you're 100? Is your intention to live in the countryside because you actually want to be living on a farm? So the things that I'm talking about in terms of values or morality or your moral code or the compass that you have is very different to must earn this amount or must be like this. You know, the interesting thing for me is a lot of men in particular often say, I want someone who's kind. and I want someone who's generous, and I want someone who has thought about life. And I think that's far more important than a prescriptive blonde, brunette, you know, sturdy, stocky. None of these things are really important for a long-term, successful, happy marriage or relationship.
I mean, what you've got to do is want to do the same things in life, haven't you? So it's like, so say you both love going on cruises, and that, you know what I mean? That gives you a start. What about do opposites attract, and have you ever got opposites together?
Well, now that's a very interesting thing. Well, I think opposites certainly do attract. I think there's no getting away from that. But the difficulty that we have when someone comes to a matchmaker is they often have a very strong idea of the kind of person they'd like to meet. And that description is usually not the opposite of them. It's the issue that we have is that quite often people come in asking for someone, and what they're doing is they're describing themselves.
Wow.
And so that's really the hurdle that we have to get over in terms of that description. Because you mentioned, oh, you must have to want to do the same things or want to go on cruises. I tend to disagree with that. I think that, yes, if your fundamental annual holiday, you only ever go on cruises, well then, yes, it's important. But just because someone is a tennis pro doesn't necessarily mean that I'd want to match them with someone who also had a love of tennis. And so we don't just say, well, they both like sailing, let's send them on a date. I would much rather that people had different interests and they could then share with their partner their interest. And, you know, if I think of even, you know, some really successful relations, my parents have one of the most successful relationships I know. My father wants to be in waders up to his chest in the river at the bottom of the garden every day of the week. My mother does not want to go outside. She wants to be inside, stitching, sewing. She's incredibly creative. She wants to be making hats.
So they're completely different. If you put them together, you'd say, God, they'd never get on.
They are the opposites that you were talking about. And so what we try to do, we do try in our match to say, well, we know that you've come in with this set of ideas and criteria that you want, but you know what? I might have a guy for you or a girl for you that's not those things, but having met them, that's the key thing, because we meet everyone in person. Having met them, I think you're going to connect, and I think that you're going to find an understanding to bridge between these different hobbies and interests in a way that you can come together.
So how many people work for you? Is it all women? Do you have any men?
Okay, 9 members, straight to it, punchy. 9 members of staff. We have 2 men working with us, and we also have other men in addition that come in and do other roles for us as and when we need it.
Okay, now, do you have then powwows? Do you have meetings all the time to say, I've got this person, you know, that must be the most fun moment, lot getting together.
It is. And you know what? Because we're lucky to operate out of the same room, so we work in an open plan office together, and so matching happens continually throughout the day. There's no start and stop to the matching. And so people, my team are continually working together to match. And it can suddenly be spontaneous with someone's name being mentioned. And of course, because we all have our own clients, your matchmaker has the final say on which date you go on. So I might say, I think Samantha's perfect for your client, Andrew. And of course, the argument will be, well, actually, Samantha's not quite right. Let me tell you why. Or Andrew wouldn't quite like Samantha. Let me go into the details why. And so your consultant, your matchmaker gets the final say, but we all are allowed at all times to put forward our clients and the reasons why we think that they're a good match. And it's not about one matchmaker getting more matches than another. It's all about getting the right fit for our clients. Because don't forget, 75% of the people that come to us because they were recommended by someone who found love through us. So
that's the best testimonial in the world.
That's the best. And so we have to make sure that our matching is strong and that we carry on giving brilliant matches to our clients, because that's where we get our recommendations from.
Now, you're in London. Are you just London-based, or is it an international company?
So we are London-based. Our clients are predominantly in London. Having said that, we have clients in Hong Kong, Singapore, in Switzerland, France. We have clients in Mallorca. I mean, we have clients all over the world. But we do say matches have to take place in London. There's very, very few exceptions. If a client is incredibly wealthy and really wants a specific personal service, we can work outside of that. Of course we will, for these clients.
Yeah, fly the person out. Yeah.
that's another thing. If they want to be flown out, it really depends on the client. If we know them extremely well, we can organise that. Other times I say, I'm going with you. So I would expect to be accompanied with anyone.
Yeah, because just in case.
So say, yeah. It's safety. Yeah. It's also about ensuring that there's, you know, everything.
And also, you've got to go, Gillian. Come on. You got to go.
Who doesn't like a little trip to Dubai? Exactly. Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
Now, let's talk about you again. You are... When you walked in, I said, are you American?
Yes.
You are Scottish. I know a lot of people live in, you know, come down south, but how was your journey? How did you get here?
Yes. Well, I started off, I went to St Andrews, University of St Andrews, and my first job was working in the Netherlands. Very, very long story short, I worked in the Netherlands, I worked in Frankfurt, and then I was transferred with my company to London. So I moved to London originally in 2001, and I have been in and out of London ever since then. I still have a home in Scotland, which I go back to, but I'm very settled in London.
Now, I do have to ask, have you got a partner?
Do you know, this is a very tricky one. Until very recently, the answer was yes. But of course, the very important thing about my industry is, and I'm a professional, which means that I am not allowed to and will not date any of my clients.
Oh God!
I know.
How tempting! How awful!
It's like having a sweetie addiction in a sweetie shop. You know, when you get these hugely eligible, fabulous men walking in the door, and you know that they're off limits. It's a very difficult thing indeed. But it's the right thing to do because we have to keep these wonderful men for our clients.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous today. It has been really, honestly, one of the most interesting interviews I've ever done. And if people want more information, we go to drawingdownthemoon.co.uk. Thank you so much, Gillian, for coming on to Radio Gorgeous.
Thank you so much, Josephine. This has been incredible amounts of fun. I'm so glad that you came to visit.
So for more fantastic interviews and fabulous women, go to radiogorgeous.com. That was absolutely... Oh, look! It's going to... No, that means...